On Yud Daled Amid Beis, in the English Gemara is 14b1, all the way at the end of the page. I mean, in the English it's the end of the page. In the Hebrew it's about 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16 lines in the top. Okay, this is going basically into a new concept. The Gemara, the Mishnah was discussing before, you know, about when you could take haircuts and Chol HaMoed, when you could take haircuts during Avelis. So now the Gemara is going to go into the do's and the don'ts of a mourner, of an oven.
We discussed as a haircut, sir?
Last time we were discussing a little bit about haircuts, right? But now it's not talking about, well, we'll soon see. The Gemara says like this, 16 lines in the top. A mourner does not conduct the laws of mourning during Yom Tov. It says in the Torah, clearly you have to be happy. So therefore, if the Torah says you have to be happy, as the Gemara is going to explain, it pushes us the concept of mourning, because it's a biblical. Well, we're going to say like this. Id avelus mi kodahu. If the avelus was before Yom Tov, meaning it started before Yom Tov, so asa esed rabim, a public positive commandment of rejoicing, v'dach esed yachid, and pushes away the esed of an individual. Meaning over here is not the concept of an individual; it means the individual mourning period. So the public simcha pushes away the private mourning. That's if the avelus started before Yom Tov. The avelus tahashto, but if it's a mourning, meaning the obligation began during Chol HaMoed, so le'osa esed yochid, an individual's positive mitzvah cannot come and push away esed the rabbim. So basically, the Gemara says either way there is no avelus in public. And in well, public will soon see. There's no avelus on Yom Tov. Because the Torah says v'samachta b'chagecha, it's a positive public mitzvah collectively, and it pushes away the negative of a mourning of an individual person.
When my father passed away, Chol HaMoed Sukkos, I went to the following week to Sukkos.
Yeah, well, that's the story. We're going to learn whether a mourner is obligated in Devarim Shebitzina. The Ramban maintains that the private things of mourning they do have to do on Yom Tov. And the Rambam learns no. And the halacha is that public mourning is forbidden, but private concepts of mourning still apply during Chol HaMoed or Yom Tov, things like that.
To refresh our memories, private mourning is midoraita?
Oh, so now this is the whole thing over here. If you see the top tesis, on your Dalet Amid Beis. Taisa says, Esed the Yachid. Because what does it say? There's a public assay of V'samachta Bechagecha. Then there's an individual assay of Avelus, of mourning. That's what the Gemara says. So Taisa says, Mashma, the Avelus Ika Esed the Raisa. From our Gemara, it implies that mourning is biblically forbidden. Why? Because then the Gemara should have said something else. If it's only rabbinically forbidden, the Gemara should have said, a biblical mitzvah pushes away a rabbinic mitzvah. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says, a public mitzvah pushes away a private mitzvah. Which means that the private mitzvah of Avelus is still minateira. So Taisa says, the Gemara uses the expression before that Avelus is rabbanon, rabbinic. So Taisa says, I know asiyas malacha. That's doing work. Which isn't only asmachta. Avagufa avelus deraisa. But Taisa says, some argument it implies, and this is a big machlekes in Poskim, is avelus minateira midrabon. Taisa here says clearly, it's minateira. In fact, Taisa continues, he says, mio nirali, which is another interesting thing, says, simcha saregel, rejoicing on Yom Tov, Taisa says, in my opinion, is also rabbinic. That means you have to bring a carbon shlomim, which is shalmi simcha. But rejoicing, Taisus holds, is rabbinic. So it's interesting. Taisus holds, that it's Avelus is Minateira, and Simcha of Yom Tov is only Midrabanan. That's what Taisus learns. And even then, a public Simcha pushes away a private Simcha. Other Rishonim disagree. There's a big, big argument about all these things. Some Paskim write, Avelus the first day is Minateira. This is what Rama writes. The rest of the week, the rest of Shiva, is Midrabanan. Some Paskim write, the whole Avelus is Midrabanan. So, we'll see. Einik Shabbos is what's called Medivrei Sofrim. It's from the Tanakh, from the Nevi'im. So it doesn't have the biblical status.
So even according to Rabbi, the first day of Avilut
is Minatera.
So then you still...
No, but still Yom Tov pushes it away. Right. Now, like you were mentioning before, the din is like this. If somebody is buried before Yom Tov, Yom Tov takes away Shiva. Shabbos does not take away Shiva. It's counted as one of the 7 days, but you don't sit Shiva. Okay, but it doesn't remove Shiva. Yom Tov removes Shiva. When? If the person was buried before Yom Tov. If a person is buried Chol HaMoed, either they died on Yom Tov or they died before Yom Tov, you couldn't bury them, whatever. And they're buried Chol HaMoed, so then the din is, Shiva begins after Yom Tov. But the last day of Yom Tov, outside of Eretz Yisrael, where we have 2 days Yom Tov, is counted as day one. Like for instance, this year, Yom Tov was Shabbos and Sunday, right? So if somebody died, let's say Chol HaMoed Sukkos, and they were buried Chol HaMoed Sukkos, so Shiva began after Yom Tov Sunday night.
Silent.
No. You don't sit Shiva on Sunday, it's Yom Tov. You start sitting Shiva, torn clothing, and Sunday night. But Sunday is counted as the first day, like you sat one day. So you don't start, Yom Tov, you don't sit Shiva. Like the Gemara says here, there's no Avelus. The Gemara says clearly, Avelus is pushed off from Yom Tov.
But somehow it is counted that one day. It's counted as one day. That Sunday.
That last day, only Chutzal. It's not, in Eretz Yisrael, the last day Yom Tov is not counted.
In Eretz Yisrael, they don't have this issue altogether.
No, somebody died Chol HaMoed. They're buried. Okay, so this year, where Yom Tov ended Saturday night.
Right.
So they started sitting Shiva Saturday night.
Right.
But Shabbos wasn't counted as a day.
Right.
That's all.
And also in America, it was not counted as a day.
It's counted. You don't sit on it, but you start sitting Sunday night.
Sunday is counted as a day.
But you don't start sitting until Sunday night. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. So the Gemara came to the conclusion clearly that there's no Avelus and Yom Tov for Chol HaMoed. Yudalet Amid Beis. About a middle, a little bit above midway. So now the Gemara says though, Menuda, if a person was excommunicated, Ma'al Sheyined Neduyev Beregel. Does he have to live the lifestyle of an excommunicated person? What is excommunicated? He's not allowed to greet others. He's not allowed to wear shoes. He cannot launder his clothing. Okay? Now obviously laundering clothing he can't do anywhere in Chol HaMoed. But the question is, if a guy is excommunicated, does he have the dinim of excommunication on Yom Tov? Or does Yom Tov take away temporarily the laws of excommunication? Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef says, I'll prove it. Toshma, come, I'll bring you a proof from a braisa. It says in a braisa, don in din in a foshis, that in Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to try capital cases, capital punishment, v'dini makis, or giving a guy malchus, lashes, v'dini mominis, in monetary cases, you're allowed to judge on Chol HaMoed. Yom Tov, you're not allowed to, but Chol HaMoed, you're allowed. So he says like this. Then the braisa continues, but ve'i leitzais ledina, not that braisa, but the braisa learns from the braisa. What happens if the guy doesn't listen to the din? Mishamten, you put into you excommunicate him. The din is, if a guy goes to din teira, and he doesn't listen, Bezdin excommunicates the guy. Right? Now, if Bezdin could do it Chol HaMoed, and the guy right away doesn't listen to the din teira, So they have to excommunicate him on Chol HaMoed. So you see that on Chol HaMoed, the laws of excommunication apply. So the Gemara continues and says, "Ve'isal kadaitach." And if it will enter your mind that ain a noeg niduya beragel, that he cannot do this excommunication on Chol HaMoed, meshumas va'asim ikara. That means if one was excommunicated before Yom Tov, also regel dachle, the Yom Tov comes in and pushes away the ban. Hashtem shamtinale. Now you can excommunicate him. Meaning like this. The din is, if a guy was excommunicated before Yom Tov takes away the ban. Okay, the Gemara learns it out because he has to have simcha. And if he's in the band, he can't have to, he's still banned, but he doesn't have to live the dinim of a banned person. So the Gemara says like this, if a guy was banned before Yom Tov and Yom Tov comes, so the ban is removed. So the question is, if Yom Tov takes away ban, how can you make a ban to begin with on Chol HaMoed? What does that show? That Yom Tov doesn't push away. Because if Yom Tov would push away the ban, if Yom Tov pushes away the ban, how could Beis Din ban him on Yom Tov? The fact that the Braisa says, or infers, that you can ban a guy on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed, that shows that Yom Tov does not remove a ban. That means a guy who's banned, a menuda, excommunicated person, has to live the life of an excommunicated person on Chol HaMoed. Unlike Avelis, that Avelis, Yom Tov removes Avelis, but Yom Tov doesn't remove the ban. That's according to the proof that Rav Yosef brought. Amalei Abaye, so Abaye says, 1 minute. How do you know the Braisa means that you ban the guy in that Chol HaMoed? Rav Yosef learned that we ban the guy in Chol HaMoed, and if you could ban a guy in Chol HaMoed, it shows that Yom Tov doesn't take away the ban. Because if Yom Tov takes away a ban, how could you put a ban on Chol HaMoed? So Abaye says, who says that the fact that, what does the Braisa say? You judge a din teira on Yom Tov and Chol HaMoed. How do you know it means banning the guy? Maybe it means la'ayune bedina. The judges can study the case. But how do you know they give a verdict? The Braisa says, you judge din teiras and Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara thought, what does that mean? You make a verdict. And then if the guy doesn't listen, you immediately ban him. Right? So the Gemara says, how do you know that's what it means? Maybe the Braisa means you do a din teira, means that you look into the din, but you don't make a verdict.
You start the case, study the case.
But how do you know? You give a verdict. So the Gemara says, I'll even prove it to you. The ilei teimahachi, because if you're going to say that this is what it means, that you give a verdict, din in the fash of ziktani, hachanami de katlin alei. Are you going to tell me that you can kill a guy on Yom Tov? Can Beis Din kill somebody on Chol HaMoed? It can't be. Why? The judges are not going to be able to have Simcha on Yom Tov. Why? Because the Tanya says in the Braisa, Rabbi Kiva Emer, Rabbi Kiva says, Minay in the Sanhedrin Shahar go sen nefesh. How do I know that a bezin that kill somebody ain't term in kolay se ayim? They're not allowed to eat the entire day. Rabbi Kiva said that a bezin who gave somebody death was had to fast that day because it says leisech la adam. You should not eat over blood, which means when you shed blood, don't eat. Now. If Bezin's gonna kill the guy in Chol HaMoed, that means Bezin's not allowed to eat that day. And Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to fast. You're taking away the mitzvah of Simcha. Right? So Abai is proving that when the Braisa says you judge judgments and you kill people, it doesn't mean giving a verdict. What it means is you look into the case. But you can't say it means you give a verdict. Why? Because if you give a verdict, then how can you kill a guy? You can't kill him, there's Bezin not going to be able to eat. And that's no good.
In the old days when they gave a get, the Rabbanis didn't eat either, right, that day?
Some of them. Today the rabbis do gittin would be fasting every day. They would lose a lot of weight. So what's the case of here? Rav Yosef learned the braisa to mean as follows. It says you judge mamon, makis, nefesh, you judge everything. So Rav Yosef learned from the braisa, it must mean that you excommunicate him too. Now, if you excommunicate him, right, there was a verdict, the guy didn't listen, you excommunicate him. That means that Yom Tov does not take away a ban. Because if Yom Tov takes away a ban, how can you make a ban on Chol HaMoed? You can't do that. So we must say that Yom Tov doesn't take away the ban. Right? So Abayi says no. How do you know it means that they make a verdict? And therefore, if the guy doesn't listen, they ban him. Maybe it means they look into the case. They study the case. And Abayi says, I'll even prove it to you that that's what it must mean. Because if you tell me they give verdicts, and the din was when you bezdin, unlike today, you sit on death row for 80 years. But if they're bezdin, the same day they made the verdict, they had to kill him. That was the din. Otherwise, it's torture. Bezdin ruled death, the guy died the same day. That means bezdin couldn't eat. If bezdin couldn't eat, they're not going to have simchas yom tov. So how could you do such a thing? So therefore, we must say, what does it mean? Not that they proclaim a verdict, but they just look into it. So El Abayi says, therefore, it means like this. The Yunabedina, the judges are only allowed to study the case. Hachanami, the same thing, just like by capital punishment. It means they can study the case. Hachanami le Yunabedina. Then, Yudalit Amid Beis. 28.
Where on the page?
You see where it says the Tesis Amar Abaya on the right? Two lines past that in the Gemara. So the same thing, Abaya says to Rav Yosef, your proof is not a good proof. Because it can't mean a verdict. It has to mean only studying the case. Therefore, we don't know yet if Yom Tov takes away a ban of excommunication from a person. So Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef said Tabaya can't be. Im Kain, Nimsa Ma'anez Dine. Then the court is delaying the guy's judgment, which is forbidden. What are you telling me? The Bezdin sits and analyzes the case? That's torture. What do you mean study the case? They have to give a decision. What do you mean? You can tell me they study the case. They know a verdict, but they can't say it until after Yom Tov. That's torture. Ella, what it means is like this. I'll tell you what the Baisa means. Really, they can give a verdict. And if the guy doesn't listen, they can give him a ban. But judges are not going to be able to eat a whole day and they're not going to have Simchas Yom Tov. So he says, what it means is like this. They can come to the courthouse in the morning and study the case. Then they can go home and eat. And before Shkia, they'll come home back and make a verdict. In other words, Bezdin can't eat after the verdict. But before the verdict, they're allowed to eat.
When they're going to kill away before
dawn? Yeah, that's what the Gemara says. They're going to come in the morning, look into the din. They're going to go out, eat and drink. And the Mefarshim explain, drink here means water. Because if judges drink wine, they're not allowed to render decisions because they're under the influence. Somebody, Shainim, right, did it, or Rajba writes, they can, or the Ritva says, or some Mefarshim learn, that or else they drink it and they sober up. That they could sober up. V'hadar asa v'shkir sechama, and then they come back when the sun is setting, meaning a little bit before Shkia. The Gamrin Ladina, they give the verdict, the Kotla, and then they kill him.
So delaying it for one day, it's okay.
They're not delaying it. It's the same day.
From morning to evening.
From morning to evening. Yeah, that's not a problem. So therefore, this is going back to Rav Yosef's proof. So therefore, really, they could ban on Yom Tov. And if they could ban somebody on Yom Tov who doesn't listen to the monetary judgment, Chol HaMoed, that shows that Yom Tov doesn't take away a ban. Because if Yom Tov takes away the ban, how could they make a ban on Chol HaMoed? So the reason my proof is still a good proof. That Yom Tov takes away Avelus, but Yom Tov doesn't take away a guy who's excommunicated, would not be allowed to greet anybody, he couldn't wear shoes. He has to do the dinim of the ban. So Amr Abaye again challenges Rav Yosef. Toshma, in our Mishnah, he says a very simple thing. Who's allowed to take a haircut? Menuda Shetir Alechachamim. A person who's excommunicated, the Chacham took off the ban. Now, the Gemara thinks now, not that they removed the ban, they lifted it for Yom Tov. That's what so Abaye says, that means, what do you see from the Mishnah? The way Abaye is learning the Mishnah means, they lifted, not permanently, they suspended the ban for Yom Tov. So that guy couldn't take a haircut before Yom Tov, so our Mishnah says, Chol HaMoed, he could take a haircut. Amar Rav, so Rav said, what are you talking about? Miktani she'tiru chachamim. It doesn't say the chachamim released bans. It says he tiru loy chachamim ktani, that the chachamim removed his ban. That means a permanent removal, not suspended. By a thought, Amish is talking about suspended bans, that the chachamim suspended bans for Chol HaMoed. So Rav says that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah doesn't say the chachamim suspended all bans on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah says, if the rabbis removed his ban, what happened? The Azal Paisel Baldina, the guy who was excommunicated, made up with the guy that he was fighting against in court, and they forgave each other, and the Chachamim removed the ban. But Moshe, if a guy doesn't listen to Din, yeah? Bezin excommunicates you, until when? Until you listen to the Din.
Until you move out of town.
Huh?
Until you move out of town.
Until you move out of town.
There's a maximum.
30 days. So in other words, there's no ban because the guy doesn't have it anymore. The Chacham removed the ban. Okay. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't have really an answer to this whole issue now. There's no proof either way about a menuda. Yom Tov, we know, Chol HaMoed takes away avelus. At least public avelus, according to all opinions. Private avelus, he can't do. I just give you a few examples. Private avelus is, if they're dancing in the streets and sukkahs with music, yeah, a person who's an oval is not allowed to go. Because it's a private thing, he didn't show up. It's not a public sign of avelus. For instance, you're not allowed to show any sign of mourning publicly on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to show any public signs of mourning. And that includes Chol HaMoed. But not showing up to dancing in the streets, I mean, he didn't show up. It's not the... Unless you're a public figure that always comes, unless you organize it. And then you're not showing up, and people are going to say, hey, why doesn't he show up? He said, well, he's an oval. That you're not allowed to do because that's public avelus. And then he would have to go and dance and everything. But if it's a private guy that shows up, doesn't show up, nobody's going to know the difference if he's there or not. So then he tak is not allowed to go. No. No. Okay, now the Gemara goes like this. We went from Ovel to Menuda. Now the Gemara says, how about a leper? A guy that has Saras also has certain laws that he has to do. So the Gemara says, Mitzera Mao Shianik Sarasai Beregel. Does he have the dinam of Saras and the Regel? meaning normally he's not allowed to enter walled cities in Eretz Yisrael. He cannot cut his hair, he cannot launder his clothing, he cannot greet other people. So the question is, what's the din on Yom Tov? And Chol HaMoed, you know, does he have those dinim or not? Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you from a Braise, a Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, it says, Anozir HaMetzedom, that a Nozir or a Metzedom, who went out mitumasi letaro, that went out from his tumah, and he's not tummy anymore, he could take a haircut on Chol HaMoed. Our Mishnah said that a person who finished leprosy could take a haircut Chol HaMoed, right? Which means that if he didn't finish the leprosy, the laws of Chol HaMoed still apply. I mean, the laws of leprosy still apply. The laws of leprosy still apply. He can't take a haircut. Habi made tumasi, but while he's still tamei, all the laws of noik, he keeps the laws of leprosy. So what is Abaye proves from our Mishnah? That a leper keeps the laws of leprosy even during Yom Tov. The simcha of Yom Tov doesn't push it away. So he says, Naimi boy ka'amar. Now, how do you know that's what the Mishnah means? I'll learn the Mishnah differently. What does the Mishnah say? Laimi boy be made to masid lay nohag. Not only, maybe the Mishnah means like this. Not only if he's tummy, does he not keep the tumah, avala taharase. But if he becomes pure, nigzir shemayasha kabanaisif. We might, should decree that he can't bring his hair during Chol HaMoed, because he might bring it in the last day of Yom Tov. Kamash Malan, it says he could. Meaning like this. It's a little gedreit. It's very simple though. The din is, when a metzeda finishes his leprosy, he has to bring a carbon. He has to bring a carbon. So what are we afraid of? Afraid of, if he finishes his tumah and Chol HaMoed, we might think that he's going to come and bring his carbon on the last day of Yom Tov. Guy's ignorant. He doesn't know Yom Tov, he can't bring a private carbon. Only public carbonas can be brought on Yom Tov. Private carbonas can be brought on Yom Tov. So I would think that if a guy finishes his leprosy on Chol HaMoed, we shouldn't allow him to end it, because then he's going to be obligated in the carbon, and he might bring it on Yom Tov when you're not allowed to. So he says like this, really, they push off Abaye's proof. Maybe the laws of leprosy don't apply on Yom Tov. Why does the Mishnah say that a guy who finished leprosy can cut his hair? Which implies a guy who is still a leper can't. Mar says, no, it means just the opposite. A guy who's a leper for sure doesn't have a din of tzaras. Yom Tov pushes it away. The chiddush of our Mishnah is that even if a guy who finishes leprosy, he can also take a haircut, because I'm not afraid he's going to bring a carbon on the last day when he's not allowed to. But a regular leper, maybe for sure he doesn't have a din of leprosy on Yom Tov. Maybe Yom Tov pushes away his din of leprosy. So right away, the Gemara asks a question over here. I mean, the Mefarshim ask, what do you mean, Kayanim don't know what they're doing? The guy's going to come to the Beis HaMikdash. Here. They ask that question, Rashi's explanation. The Kayanim know what they're going on. What do you mean, the guy's going to be coming to Kayanim, going to tell me now to bring it?
Did they know that he was Tzaraat and I'm not Tzaraat?
When the guy brings a carbon, they have to tell him, why am I bringing it?
Doesn't matter, can't bring it anyway, no matter what.
Yeah, but the Gemara says, I might think that the guy won't know and he'll bring it. That's where Rashi learns. So the Mefarshim asking Rashi, the Rishonim asking Rashi, but what do you mean? Does the Kohenim know what's going on? But the Gemara answers it anyway, that doesn't really matter. So basically, we still don't know, meanwhile, about a leper, if they have the dinim of leprosy on Yom Tov or not. Menudo, we don't know. The Gemara never came to a conclusion. And Tzaras, the Gemara never came to a conclusion. Meanwhile, now the Gemara is going to prove it, what the din of Tzaras is. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you from a Braisa. It says in the Torah, Atzerua, a person who has leprosy, his garments have to be torn, and his hair have to be left uncut. The Rabbi is Kohen Gadol, that even a Kohen Gadol keeps the words in the law, that a Kohen Gadol has Tzaras. Because there's an extra word, Hatzarua. A person who is a leper, you know, has the laws of Tzaras. But the word Tzarua, we're talking about Tzaras the whole time. Why does it have to say Hatzarua? So the Gemara learns out that even a Kohen Gadol who has leprosy has to act the laws of leprosy. So the Gemara says, a Kohen Gadol l'chol ha'shana k'regel l'kul ha'amadame, a Kohen Gadol has this level of Yom Tov a whole year, and yet there's a din of Tzaras by a Kohen Gadol. For instance, a Kohen Gadol, like he says, the Tanan, Kohen Gadol makrivenin. A Kohen Gadol is allowed to bring a korban, even though he's an Einain. An Einain is from the time of death to the burial. The mourner, not the guy who died, the mourner between the death and the funeral is called an Einan. So the din is, a Kohen Gadol brings Karbanis even if he's an Einan. Any Karban that he has to bring. He has daily Karbanis anyway he had to bring. The person he had to bring. Yeah, in fact, there was a whole fight in Parsha Shmini with Moshe Rabbeinu, with Aaron, with the kids, and Moshe got angry at Aaron's kids, and Aaron answered, what are you talking about? I'm a Kohen Gadol, I could do it, you know, I have to bring a carbon anyway. So what do you see from there? A Kohen Gadol, there's no Avelis by a Kohen Gadol. That means Yom Tov exists by him a whole year. By him a whole year is like Yom Tov. Yet, a Kohen Gadol has a din of leprosy. If you tell me Yom Tov pushes away leprosy, a Kohen Gadol should never be able to become a leper. Or have a din of a leper, because he's a Yom Tov a whole year. The fact that we learn out that a Kohen Gadol could become a leper shows that the laws of leprosy apply in Yom Tov, and the Gemara says, Shema mina neik tzedase beregel, and the Gemara says, Shema mina, it's a good proof.
Did that ever happen?
Huh? Well, it's a very interesting question because the Tesis Sarosh, being on the bottom, has a very simple question. We learn out from Psukim and Chumash that what happens if a guy gets leprosy during Yom Tov? You don't look at it. You don't want to disturb his Yom Tov. You don't look at it until after Yom Tov. Now, if a Kohen Gadol has a din of Yom Tov a whole year, when can you ever look at a Kohen Tzaras? You can't. So how is it possible? He asked just a question. How is it possible for Kohen Gadol to become a leper? So some answer, interesting, the different answers, that not looking at Tzaras during Yom Tov is only rabbinic. So you're right. Rabbinically, a Kohen Gadol can never become a leper.
Isn't it that the Kohen has to pronounce a leper?
Yeah, so why can't another Kohen look at a Kohen Gadol? Well, I mean, a regular Kohen could become a leper. Another Kohen looks at him and sees. Right? Another Kohen will look at him and become a... But the question, Kohen Gadol has a whole year of din of Yom Tov. Yom Tov, you know. So he said, that's only rabbinic. Min HaTorah, you could look at a thing. A leper on Yom Tov.
Besides, hypothetically, if he did get Tzaras, he couldn't be seen in public in that kind of condition. Anyway.
No, the din is, the taka, he's... He has to be out of the walled city, and he has all those things. Normally Tzaras came from Lashon Hara. I don't think a Kohen Gadol spoke Lashon Hara, because then he wouldn't be a Kohen Gadol.
Wouldn't that be a leverage that he won't be able to serve, do certain things anyhow?
Well, that's what it says. If he becomes a Tzarua, meaning...
can walk into his own. You can't even live in Yerushalayim, right?
See, the problem is, what, like the Mefarshim say, why would I think a Kohen Gadol can't become a leper? The Torah adds as an extra word, Vatzarua, to teach me a Kohen Gadol becomes a leper. Right? So the question is, why would I think a Kohen Gadol can't become a leper? Why is he different than anybody else? So the answer is very interesting. A Kohen Gadol is never allowed to tear his clothing. A Kohen Gadol is not allowed to let his hair grow long. And a leper has to do those things. So I would think a Kohen Gadol can't become a leper because he can't do those things that the Torah says a leper could do. So the Torah says Atzerua, that he can still become a leper. Now the extra word includes that even though I would think a Kohen Gadol can't, because the question, why would I think a Kohen Gadol can't become a leper? And he's a Yid, he can become a leper, why not? Because the din of a leper can't do, a Kohen Gadol is not allowed to do. Nevertheless, the Pasuk says he can still become.
And if he becomes, does he...
He becomes.
He goes out to the wall.
Yeah.
He's not disqualified as a Kohen Gadol to be replaced by another one?
Yeah. The only time he replaced is if he dies or did a terrible sin that would not allow him to work as a... Or if he became Tamei and Yom Kippur, there was the assistant Kohen Gadol to help him out.
He married a shitzi.
Kohen Gadol. Many times you wouldn't be allowed to marry, you know.
The deputy would take over.
Right? Yeah. Okay. So far in the Gemara we have like this: Avelis doesn't exist during Yom Tov, at least public Avelis. Menudo we don't know. Okay. We don't have any proof either way. Leprosy, the din is, leprosy does stay on Yom Tov. Okay? That's the way it works.
So, if he's bitzarat and he become tahor during Chol HaMoed, they will wait until after Yom Tov?
Who?
You're saying the Tzaraat...
Yeah, the Kohen doesn't go to proclaim it until after Yom Tov. Until the Kohen doesn't proclaim it, it's not, he's not a leper.
He cannot proclaim
that he's clean.
Right, you need somebody else.
When you become clean.
No, Kohen doesn't bother looking. Once the Kohen looks, he has to say... Well, we learned that before in the Gemara, it's in Machlekes, but he would have to proclaim it. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. The Gemara is going to discuss, we're likening now Avel to Tzaras and Menuda, right? These three guys seem to be in the same boat. A person in mourning has certain laws, an excommunicated person has a certain law, a leper has a certain laws. So the Gemara says like this, Avel aser b'taspedes, a mourner is forbidden to take a haircut. Okay? Why? How do we know that an oval is not allowed to take a haircut? So it says, "Mid a ka'am l'rachman l'bnei Aaron," because the Torah Hashem said to Aaron's children, "Rasheich maltifro." You know when the two brothers died over there. So Hashem said to him, "Don't leave your heads unshorn, uncut." Mechlal the kulamas, which means everybody else is not allowed to shave your heads to take a haircut. What did Hashem tell Aaron's children? You guys can take haircuts. Meaning, everybody else can't. So from here we see clearly that, that we see clearly in the Torah that you're not allowed to take a haircut. Now at the bottom, they bring down the Chayda, so you see from here that it's Minat Torah Velus. We see, can't they get, so you say, no, it's really rabbinic, and they only found an allusion to it, that it's alluded to in the Torah. So now the Gemara asks, Menuda o Metzeroa Mayhem B'Tespedes. What's the law of the same din of Tzaras and Menuda, excommunicated person? Do they also have a prohibition against cutting the hair? Do they have a prohibition to cut the hair or not? So the Gemara says, Tashma, come and prove it to you like this. Menud and Mitzrayim, people who are excommunicated, and people that have leprosy, Asur and Lasaper Chabes, cannot do laundry and cannot take a haircut. So you see clearly that you can't take a haircut. I mean, it's a clear braisa. And then it continues. Menu de shemes, a person who was excommunicated and died while in excommunication, the din is based in cycling the sarayni. The court would stone his coffin. One second. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, no, one second. Rabbi Yehuda says, and the Gemara says, he's not arguing on the first opinion. He's explaining the first opinion. What do you mean you stone the coffin? I mean, you think everybody stands there and starts throwing stones. It's not like they're going to put a ton of stones on his coffin like they did by the coffin of Achan, who a whole story he stole the consecrated spoils of Yericho, and then he was stoned and they took was found guilty of expropriating the consecrated spoils of Yericho. I don't know. Fine. Whatever. So they didn't stone him. Ella, what did they do? Bezdin Shulchan, the court sends its shluchim, or manichin evan gedei la l'arenei. And they put a big stone on his coffin. In other words, they don't stone it. They don't put a heap of stones. They put a stone on, a big stone on. Lamdcha to teach you, shekol ha-misnado mes. Any person who is excommunicated and dies b'niduyev in his excommunication, bezdin seiklin azareine, bezdin stones his coffin.
What's the sense of that? What's the purpose of it? It's the highest form of punishment there.
Okay, so the question.
Pay monetary damages.
No, but the Mefarshim asks a different thing over here. Rashi asks a question over here. Yeah, that's what it just said. What does the lalam docha mean? Then the Brei says, to teach me that whoever is excommunicated, you put a stone on his... We just said that. That's what the Brei said. Why is it repeating itself? So they learn like this. The Gemara's statement is interpreted as follows. A stone is placed upon the coffin that others will take note of the treatment and will not follow in his footsteps. Okay?
Stoning is the same way. They pull him down and then after he's... Yeah, they put a stone on it.
But by the way, one second. He says over here that some poskim learn, the drisha was right, that this is only a guy who was excommunicated because he was an apikeiros. But a guy who didn't listen to Besdin, the Gemara says, he says, pursuant to monetary dispute, his coffin is not stone. It's only a guy who was an apikeiros and he died being an apikeiros. So then, they stoned him. That nobody else should follow in his footsteps. Okay, next thing. So again, what the Gemara is doing in the next piece of Gemara is, we know a din of an ovel. The question is, does Saras and Nidui have the same thing? So now the Gemara said, an ovel can't take a haircut. They brought a proof from a braisa. Neither can a leper. Or a person who is minuda, excommunicated, cannot take a haircut. Then it says, "Ovel chayv batif esarosh." This, by the way, it's something we do not do today. But it says like this: an ovel is obligated in wrapping the head. Now, what they used to do is they used to cover the head with a cloak or scarf and draw part of it over his mouth and nose. As a sign that he was a mourner. See, he brings down Ramah writes, in our regions it's not done. And you're not allowed to do it either. And the reason is because it leads the goyim making fun of you. And they didn't want to do things that goyim should make fun of Jews. Because it looked ridiculous, you know, a guy walking around with a scarf. Okay, so now the Gemara says, how do we know an ovel is chayiv and atif is harosh? How do we know Novel has to do it? He says, "Me the Kamalei Rachman Li Cheskel," because when Yecheskel, the story with Yecheskel was that his wife is going to die. They told him his wife is going to die, and they told him, "Leisatem al Sofim, do not veil yourself to the lips." That means Hashem said to Yecheskel, because of the whole story, what was going on, because of the Beis Hamikdash, and he said to him, you don't cover your eyes. Which means everybody else who's in mourning does have to. So therefore we learn out clearly that an Avel has to cover his eyes. But now the Gemara says, Menuda Mao Batifa Sarosh. What about a Menuda? Does he do it or not? Does an excommunicated person do it? So he says, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said, Toshma. Come, I'll ask you a question. What's the question? I'll give you a proof. It says, Vehein Misatvim. It says that they would sit, Vigeshvim, Kemenuda Kavelim. It says like this. If there was no rain, this is Gemara in Tainus. When there was no rain, they started making fasts. Okay? It got to a point where there was mamish, it was getting very bad. So not only did they fast, then it says the scholars, okay, after fasting 13 fasts and it still didn't work, they would have to sit down and misatim cover their heads. V'yeshim kemenudim uka'avelim. They would have to cover their faces and sit like excommunicated people and like mourners. Until Hashem has pity on them and gives rain. So what do you see clearly from this braisa? It says they have to wrap their heads like mourners and excommunicated people. So you see clearly that excommunicated people have to cover their heads too, just like a mourner. Abaya said, what are you talking about? This is not excommunicated people. Dilma menuda l'shamayim shiny. The chomet. This is a God's ban. This is not a court ban. Basically, the Gemara is saying like this. There's no rain because the Jews are sinning. Who's to blame? The leaders. Who's excommunicating them? Hashem. That's bad. Then you have to cover your face. How do we know that if Bez Din excommunicates you, you have to cover your face? You don't know from that. The Brice is speaking, nobody was excommunicated by Bez Din. They were excommunicated by Hashem by not giving rain. Right? So then they would have to wrap their faces. How do you know, though, that if Bez Din excommunicates you, how do you know you're going to wrap your face? Maybe not. So he says, okay. So now the Gemara asks another question. Mitzera mahu batifes rosh. What about a mitzera? Does a leper, does he have to cover his face or not? So Toshmat says, by a leper it says, Valsofim yate, he shall veil himself up to his lips. It says the pasuk in the Chumash. The leper has to cover his face. So, Shmeklal, Shechayiv batif esarosh. You see that he's obligated to wrap his face. Shmamino, it's a good proof. So, about a menuda, and that's why it's interesting, Mark kept them separate. All the other cases, the Gemara has Mitzayda and Menuda together. Because whatever the din was for A, the din was for B. Here the Gemara separated them. First the Gemara asked about Menuda, and the Gemara refuted the proof. And then Mitzayda, we have a clear pasuk that says you have to. So the din is Mitzayda has to do Atifa Sarosh, has to cover his face. Menuda, we don't know. What?
These questions, these issues that Menuda need to cover his face? During Chol HaMoed, we are talking about Chol HaMoed, or
no. There's not talking about Chol HaMoed now. This is talking during the time of excommunication. Right.
Whether he need to or does not need to. This is the discussion.
That was the question of the Gemara. Do we or don't we?
Did they ask the question about the Adol too? Did he ask to cover his face?
So he says like this. The Gemara doesn't answer about Menuda, correct? So it says the Gemara's query is not resolved. The Rishenim dispute, what else is new? What the halacha should be in this case. Most poskim, the shachmeit, most poskim, that excommunicate is not required to wrap his head. Okay? And he says further, the shach writes, regarding all the questions of the Gemara that remain unsolved in this case, you have to follow a lenient view. You follow a lenient view. You know, it's an interesting din by Avelis. The Gemara says, we're going to learn it later, Halacha kedivrei hameikel. When there's an argument in the laws of mourning, the halacha is like the one that's lenient. And the Rebbe once went to be Menachem Avos somebody, and the Rebbe said that when you're lenient in the laws of Avelis, they're lenient in heaven on the deceased. So somebody asked the Rebbe the source, and the Rebbe, not that he was the source, but he didn't answer the question.
Yeah, but it's for respect.
But that's why if you're too strict in the morning, then they're strict upstairs.
But it's respect to
what sense? Huh?
Like for example,
what? I'll give you an example. It says, and this is one of the reasons why Chabad doesn't make eulogies. In Bukhal, Chabad doesn't make eulogies. A lot of times they say, if the dead person would be able to talk, they would get up and tell the speakers to be quiet and let them get buried already. they torture everybody, including the deceased. It's brought down, though, in Sfarim, a very sharp thing, that, you know, people make eulogies about people and they say how great they were, blah, 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 blah. It says in Sfarim, you have to be extremely careful not to lie. If you say, let's get up and make a speech, the guy was charitable, and he wasn't, they hold it against him in heaven. They say, what type of lowlife are you? You cheated people that you're charitable and you're not? So they said, no, it says in Sfarim, you have to be extremely careful when you eulogize a person not to say anything false. Because if you lie that the guy was charitable, they're going to be stricter up there on the guy. What do you mean? You cheated people, you gave false impression that you're charitable when you're not. So they would hold it against the nifter, who would be judged harder.
By being lenient, it's like somebody has to go to the kids.
No, the lenient is when there's a different arguments in halacha about the laws of Avelis. Do you or don't you? The rule is you're always lenient. Like the Shach is saying about Menuda. The Shach is saying, the Gemara doesn't answer the question, you take a lenient view. What?
Why should the Nifter be charged with the responsibility for the hyperbole of the...
No, because it means that he cheated people's mind. He tricked their minds.
Not necessarily. People are just trying to say something nice about the guy.
But Bezin Shemaila says it's a lie.
Okay, but
so you caused them to lie about you.
He's not the liar.
But he caused them to lie.
He caused them?
Yeah.
He's in a box.
In his lifetime, he caused them that. That's one of the reasons why in many places they don't make eulogies for people. Even though the Gemara talks about eulogies, you know, Chacham and all that. But...
If the person really was... A good person, they shouldn't say that.
I'm saying if you exaggerate the goodness of the person when he wasn't, that's detrimental to the person's health up there.
You heard Rabbi about the number of things you could say about people like that. The guy was never late, and they did, for example, for a guy that.
Because he never went.
He never went. Never late for me. There are a number of things like that you
can
say.
It's like. You know, the whole issue about saying halal on Yom HaTzmaut or not. So a lot of people say, listen, they don't have to be different than Ben-Gurion. They do what Ben-Gurion did. Ben-Gurion didn't say halal. And they're not going to say halal. Okay, now the Gemara says, this is also a very important din. Aval asul anir tefillin. It's forbidden for an aval to wear tefillin. And the Gemara later on is going to discuss, like 5-6 pages later, what does that mean? But the basic din is an oval cannot put on tefillin. Why? How do you know an oval can't put on tefillin? Because again, Hashem told Yecheskel, Pe'ercha chavashalecha, don your glory upon yourself. Tefillin is called Pe'er, glory. So Hashem said to Yecheskel, you wear tefillin, which means everybody else who's in mourning doesn't. Miklal, the kula ma'as, that everybody else is not allowed to wear tefillin. So now the Gemara asks, menuda mahu betefillin.
Huh? In your morning.
No. We'll see later in the Gemara. I'm going to be put on anyway. But no, it's only until the funeral. We'll see the Gemara later. Chafalev is going to discuss the whole increase. In fact, here in 14 it says the Gemara below records a dispute regarding the number of days that a mourner is forbidden to wear tefillin. Anyway, so now, so we see clearly a mourner does not wear tefillin. So now the question is, menuda ma'u b'tefillin? Does a person who is excommunicated, does he wear tefillin? And the Gemara answers, teiku. We don't know. Now the Gemara is mitzeda. What's the din of a mitzeda? Does a mitzeda, a leper, wear tefillin or not? So the Gemara says, Toshma kam al prove. It says in the pasuk, Vatzerua, again, the same thing we learned before, the Rabbis Kain Godl, that even a Kain Godl is a leper. I mean, could become a leper. What's the case? The God of Yefrumim, his garments should not be torn, I mean, they have to be premium. Sheyem Ekurayim, this means, No, sorry. But God of you, Perumim, his garments should be, Perumim, they should be torn. Vereshi, ya Perua, and his head should be Perua. And what does Perua mean? Gidul sar, that the hair has to grow. That means a Kohen Gadol becomes a leper, has to tear his clothing, and he has to let his hair grow. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Kiva Emer, Rabbi Kiva says, what are you talking about? Nemra via Bereshi, it says the word Havia, it should be. By the Mitzvah's head, the Nemra via Bebegin, and it says the word Havia by a garment. Ma via Mora Bebegin, Dava Shechutz Migufe, just say by the garment. It refers to an item which is external from his body, meaning not his body, but the garment. Af Avaya Beresh, but the same thing, Avaya Beresh, means Dava Shechutz Migufe, something outside the body. Meaning, what does it mean? My love and tone, that he's not allowed to wear tefillin. That means, when it says like this, your garment should be torn, and your hair should be grown. Okay, now, so that's what Rabbi Eliezer says. Rabbi Eliezer says, what does it mean? Simply, he has to tear his garment and tear his, and let his hair grow. Rabbi Kiva says, no. Because when you talk about garments, it's something external. So then when you speak about his hair, it has to also be external. How do you have external by hair? Tefillin. So you see from here that he doesn't put on tefillin. So Amar Rabbi says no. So we're therefore like this. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he would put on tefillin. Because it only means his hair has to grow, but he has to put on tefillin. According to Rabbi Kiva, he's not allowed to wear tefillin. So the question is, does a Metzeda wear tefillin or not? There's an argument between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. So Amar says, Amar Rabbi Kiva, it does, that's not what it means. It means kumsod of sudra. It means that a hat and a turban, meaning a mitzvah, may not cover his head with these items of a hat. It doesn't mean tefillin. Rabbi Kiva doesn't say the word tefillin. Rabbi Kiva said it has to be external. So Martha, what could it mean? Tefillin. So you see, Rabbi Kiva also doesn't put on tefillin. So Martha said that's not what Rabbi Kiva meant. Rabbi Kiva says he can't wear a turban. But tefillin, he does wear. So therefore, both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Kiva hold the material would put on tefillin. Okay.